Cool.
Dude!
Part 2.
Transitioning into a bit more zooming into exactly what, you know, what who you are and what defines who you are. What changes have you made? I was going to say over the past year, copyright Tim Ferriss. But what changes have you made in your career, personal health, or personal relationships in the past 6 months that is like been a 180 where you've totally like did about face? What could you say? What could you talk on for the next minute about?
Yeah, that's huge, man. I mean, I could speak on each of those, but I'd say the foundation, because I think about this stuff a lot, man, as far as just routines and, you know, Tim Ferriss, man, I got a lot of respect for that guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, but these guys talk about peak performance and, you know, yourself, man, the 80-20, how can you get the greatest result in the shortest amount of time? So I've sort of, you know, kind of 80-20 in my life and really just sort of tighten up what's most important. And, you know, man, I'd say over the last... Yeah, over the last month or so, I've really just gotten clear about my morning ritual, you know, not even my daily routine, but more so just my morning ritual. Before it was like my daily routine and I had like, okay, well, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to do this. And then at 11 o'clock, I'm going to do this. And then at 2:30, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, that's too much. It's too much. Let me just start with one part of my day. So I'm like, okay, just my morning ritual. This is the foundation of everything I do. So if I can at least get this part off to a start, that gives me excitement and energy, I feel like that momentum will bleed over into the day. So everything else is, we'll have a better chance of being gravy. So what I do now, man, what I was doing previously would, you know, I'd wake up. Sometimes I would set an alarm, but generally I wake up pretty early, but I would just kind of wake up. Sometimes I would look at my phone to kind of check my email to see if anything came in from work. You know, I don't want to admit this, but just for the sake of transparency, every once in a while when I wake up, I might look at Facebook. I try not to wake up to Facebook. I know a lot of people who wake up to Facebook before they wake up to their lover. And that really does hurt my heart. Like, I'm committed to no longer waking up to Facebook. But it's like, instead of just kind of waking up and going to my phone and just kind of getting up and like just going, checking my email, what I do now is I wake up. And as soon as my eyes open, I have an incredible alarm. I have these phones, these new iPhones have done a phenomenal job getting the alarm sound right so it doesn't disturb your sleep, but it actually sort of like gradually wakes you up so it's more pleasant. So yeah. I've got a nice ringer. And also too, the night before, I've been going to bed really at 11, but just like right around 11. So instead of, you know, trickling off and going to bed at 12 or 1, it's like, hey, I'm in bed by 11. I'm waking up by 6. So that's 7 hours right there. Some people say they need 8. Some people say they only need 6. I need 7. I realize that. 7 hours is gold for me. Yeah. But I know I'm getting that sleep. I wake up. There's gratitude immediately. I kind of go through my affirmations. I have, you know, a couple of small things that I do. But after that, man, I drink some water. I have a green drink, which I'm happy to give you guys a recipe for some other time. And I just start doing, you know, just some of my morning exercises, whether they be whether I'm doing yoga that day or a kettlebell workout. And I just find that 1 hour of power right there, just those few things in that 1 hour just really do set me up. And I'm just, I mean, in my career, in my relationships, just in my personal life, just my own confidence, I just feel much more clarity. And I feel like that, you know, it's kind of that magnetism that I think we all want, you know, that enthusiasm for life, that excitement that attracts people. I just find that, like, it's just there more. I just feel more awake. I feel more alert. And as a result, I just feel like I have a little more steam throughout the day, man. A little more consistent there.
Dope, man. I like that, man. I've definitely been there too myself. Where I have a morning routine of meditating, writing and reading. And it varies between, you know, 7 and 15 minutes. And obviously, you know, brush my teeth and all that stuff. And then working out, whether swimming, running, or cycling. So I try to do that 6-7 days a week. Because I feel like the morning's like the reset. Like, a lot of people try to get their training in later or try to meditate later in the day. And I feel like the morning is like your time. Like they call time thieves throughout the day. There's time thieves everywhere, whether you're one or someone else is one or your job or whatever. As a time thief, Facebook, you then go, all right, 5 o'clock, I'm going to, you know, go to the gym, or 7 o'clock, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to meditate at 4 p.m. Man, those time thieves, they don't care. Like, they take that shit away from you. And then you go, oh, don't have any time today. And then it's hard for you to get in that routine. So I feel like the mornings I've just learned them out. And it's been scientifically proven your brain is freshest. So I agree with you, man. I'm right there with you.
It's like you start off at a full tank in the morning, and by the end of the day, that tank is empty. So like you want to go to the gym at 8 o'clock when your tank is empty. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone's different, but you're absolutely right, man. It's like there's something to be said about those circadian rhythms at night and when you wake up and like just how you feel refreshed. Like you gotta run with that stuff. Go with the flow instead of against it.
Yeah, man. I agree.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, no, I appreciate that question, man. And I know that we've talked a lot about routines, you know, just in your own life, man. One thing I've always been curious about is just your level of discipline, man. Because at the end of the day, discipline is, I mean, it's sticking to it after it's not sexy anymore. You know, everyone's excited about stuff when it's new and fresh. But once you really get into it and like, you know, for example, with your training, you know, when it's summertime and it's nice out, I'm sure it's easy to get up in the morning and go ride. But when it's cold or rainy or, you know, I'm not sure what the weather patterns are. I'm sure, you know, you're not as excited. How do you, you know, discipline yourself for, you know, 3 months or, you know, however long you're training for a triathlon? Like what is sort of your carrot that keeps you going? You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question. I ask myself that a lot. I have an awesome, beautiful partner who is just as motivated, if not more. Like she'll wake up. So we have a lot of outdoor pools here and Olympic size, you know, beautiful outdoor pools. They're heated. But man, there's some days that it's like 5 degrees Celsius / 48 degrees Fahrenheit. And
that's no joke, man.
And it's outdoors, man. You're stripping down outdoors into your little skimpy little bathing suit and jumping into the heated pool. And that shock is like, like I personally can't stand it. And that's why, you know, 3 or 4 months out of the year, it gets a bit cold here. And you got to swim in those pools. And that's why I actually don't swim as much. But she, you know, some weeks, 3 or 4 times a week, man, in the morning, she's there. Boom, boom, wow. boom. Yeah, man. And I'm like, yo, it's raining outside. She rides a bike down, jumps in that pool. And I think it's having, the best thing is having a goal. So when I was at my peak of swimming last year, when I did an Ironman, a full triathlon Ironman, I knew what I had to do. So I had the zoomed out 6 month goal. I started, you know, it was actually a 10 month training plan, but the meat of it was about 6 months. So the first 6 months, I had 6 months planned out and then I broke them down into monthly and then weekly and then daily goals. So I knew what I had to hit. So basically, you know, Monday it would be a reset and I'd be like, cool, I got to get in 2 swims this week, got to get in 3 bikes and I had to get in 3 runs. And I gave myself leeway because obviously I'm a freelance contractor, half of my work, my other half is pretty crazy working at a bike shop. So I knew that my life is always constantly changing in the middle. So I gave myself leeway to, I didn't have to go Mondays I swim. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I swam usually on Mondays and Wednesdays and I usually rode on Tuesday, Thursdays. And, you know, I did my long rides on Sundays, I did my long runs on Saturdays, whatever. But sometimes it would rain, you know, things would happen. So I would move things around, but I made sure I had to get those 2 swims in because I knew that I would not be able to hit my certain. So I always tested myself. So every 3 or 4 weeks I would do time trials. So it's really big. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to test to see if you're getting gains. And I try to always make, you know, the pool time trials the same. It was 500 meters in the pool, which is about 10 long laps. And then, you know, I checked my time. And if I was getting faster, I knew that I was improving. So I'd always be rested for those, my running time trials and my cycling time trials. And that's how I would see gains. And that would then motivate me. So it's like I had to sit down and make that training plan. I had to make that schedule. And that took me a few hours. Like making the schedule and the plan is actually is the hardest thing. That's the hardest part of the discipline. Then following it and then making it adaptive is actually the easiest. And then I started like going, okay, cool. Now I want to start this business, or I want to do research on this business, or I want to do better at this job. I have a million hustles, this one job. I would then start I would look at the plan, go 6 months, I want to be here. I'm here now. And then just break it down. So that's how I stay motivated. To circle back to your original question, it's more of like I wanted to hit the daily goals because if I didn't hit the daily goals, I knew that I wouldn't hit the weekly goals and I knew I wouldn't hit the monthly goals and I wouldn't hit my goal. So rather than, you know, looking at Will Smith, you know, props to him for this analogy, rather than looking at, oh, I have to build this whole house out of bricks or I have to build this wall out of 1,000 bricks, damn, it's going to take us 3 months to do this. You just go brick by brick. You go, let's get 5 bricks in this next hour. Let's get 5 bricks. You know, however, I've never laid bricks down, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I love how this is all like circling back, because like this is perfect. So how do you get through bad times? How do you get through when you don't feel motivated, when you're down? Because I've had a pretty challenging last few months, and I'm trying to sort out where I go wrong and where it's hard for me to be motivated. How do you deal with being just down? You know, how do you deal with stress? What's your go-to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, man, that's $1 million question. And, it's interesting because I'll do my best to make this concise, but, you know, I feel like I've sort of been training my mind to be prepared for rainy days. You know, I'd say probably right around, like, I mean, pretty much, man, once we got out of high school, I'd say like, you know, 99, I started getting into kind of the personal growth, and, you know, I read Think and Grow Rich, and then Rich Dad, Poor Dad came on my lap.
The classics,
you know, just kind of went. Yeah, the classics. Yeah, you know, kind of went down the rabbit hole more into spirituality. Deepak Chopra, The 7 Laws of Spiritual Success, just all these different titles. Richest Man in Babylon. I can go on forever. But yeah, man, you know, one thing that I really got out of it was like, I felt like I was spending a lot of time trying to sort of push negative stuff out. But what I realized, like now, it's like I feel like it's okay to like have a setback and be down. But ultimately, like you said, it's like if you take the time to sort of have a goal, you know, if your goal is to run a triathlon in 3 months, obviously your first goal isn't to be able to run a triathlon by next week. It's like you have to build up to that. And it's like if I get set back on something and I have a goal around that, it's like ultimately I feel like that's an opportunity for me to recalibrate, because I don't feel like the universe would ever steer me in a direction that I wouldn't need to go in. Like, I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidences. Like, I don't. Too much shit happens in life to like just think that you can just have it all figured out and have a plan and like, hey, this is how my plan's going to go. Like, you plan and then you just step back and let everything else sort of come in. And like, I think where a lot of people fall short is like, for example, there's the example with the Chinese bamboo. You know, this has been said by a lot of different people. This isn't my thought, but ultimately, you know, when you go to plant Chinese bamboo, you know, it takes 4 years for it to break ground. And then after it breaks ground, it takes like 2 weeks for it to grow 90 feet. So the $1 million question is, you know, did it grow 90 feet in, you know, that 2 week period, or was it that, you know, 4 or 5 year period? And obviously, you know, we know the answer, but I just think that in our own lives, we have to trust that, you know, if we're setting off on a path and we get knocked off, or just for some reason doesn't look anything like we thought it would initially look, I think it's important for us to trust that, you know, this is the part of the ride I don't really have any control over. The only thing I actually have control over is my attitude. So if I start focusing on the doubt and all the shit that I don't want to happen, the chances of that happening and magnifying get bigger. Doesn't mean it'll actually happen, but it gets bigger. So now you're worrying about shit that hasn't even happened. And that's the worst. It's like, you might as well just deal with it when it happens, then worry about it for a whole nother year. Why give yourself a whole year to worry about something that might not happen? Now, easier said than done. You know what I mean? But I think at the end of the day, man, for me, what helps me is that like worry has never like fixed a problem. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, nah, I know what you mean. Sorry, man. Yeah. Some people. The move. Nah, man, I know exactly what you mean, man.
No worries. So, but just to wrap it up, man, as far as just, you know, keeping that spirit up, man, it's like, I think it's accepting that like shit happens to like cool people and to like people who aren't cool, and then recognizing that it's not personal, and then asking yourself, what can I do in this moment, just in this moment, to just move myself forward? You know, and if that's just having gratitude because, you know, you have a cell phone to Google a library to go pick up a book that can open up your mind, or you got a cell phone to text a friend who, you know, might be able to give you some words of encouragement. But I think ultimately it's just taking action. Action is the key to freedom. Bruce Lee said it. Action is the key to freedom. If you feel like shit, move, do something, breathe, you know, but just that stagnation, you know, that creates doubt, that creates worry when we're just kind of in that tunnel, you know, that takes us so far away from where we actually want to be, man. So maybe in a million ways I answer your question, but that's what I got.
No, nah, man, that's just dope, man. That's real dope, man. I appreciate that. So yeah, man. Thank you. You know, for that, thank you for that. That's exactly. You know, I love your analogy of the bamboo. You've been saying that for a while, man. That's one of my favorite ones. And also, the duck underwater. You don't see their legs moving, but those things are going nuts. So you know, people are like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's going on? Why don't you do anything? You know, someone starts mm-hmm. a business 2 years ago. About people, what are you doing? What are you doing? I haven't mm-hmm. seen you make $1 million.
Have you made any money yet?
Yeah.
Have you made any money yet?
Exactly, man. And that duck's underwater.
How much have you spent on it?
Those legs are going crazy, man. Those legs are going crazy. So yeah, man, I totally feel you on that, man. It's like, you know, everything is a grind. It is a struggle, but I guess
but it's interesting though, because our man Chris will probably challenge that and say, you know, I'm tired of struggling. We got to glide. You can glide through and still sure. get the same momentum, you know. So maybe that's another podcast. But it's like, as far as the language, like struggle and a grind, like, okay, it is a struggle and a grind. But when do we get to glide and thrive? You know what yeah. I mean? Can we glide and thrive?
It's a combination of things. I think it's you know, you gotta grind to get better. Like, without struggle, there is no progress. So, you know, you gotta break down those muscles. Those muscles, you gotta break them down so that they can build up and be stronger. So, you know, I think you gotta have your easy days, you gotta have your hard days, you gotta be very, very smartly calculated and scheduled in. And that's training, that's life, that's personal relationships, that's kind of everything. I think one thing, you know, just piggyback on this, I've done over the past 4 months, which has been a pretty tough time in my life, just you know, nothing health related, nothing like crazy happening, but it's been this like first world problem that I've been struggling with. And I've learned to just accept everything. Like, I just learned to accept the day as it is. When it's good, know that it will change, because the next day may be bad. And when the next day is bad, know that the next day will probably be boring. And know that the next day will probably be exciting. Like, there's no like, just accepting everything. I think that's one big thing that I've kind of taken from everything, you know, whether it's Cool Black Dudes, whether it's 80/20 Experience, whether it's just life in general, you, it's just like, you know, hopefully over the course of your life, you know, if you zoom in, it's going to look up and down like the stock market. When you zoom out, you'll see this trend of the last, you know, 35 years of my life slightly going up. And, you know, I don't want it to go like crazy hockey stick up, because then, you know, it's going to drop pretty hard. So just, you know, 1% average gains, man, you know, maybe 3% to go higher than the inflation, you know, the inflation rate.
So conservative, man. Get me in that 7-8%, baby. Come on.
Okay, 7-8% over my life. That would be phenomenal gains. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, I appreciate you. I'm gonna wrap this up. I gotta move houses. I appreciate you taking the time, good sir. You know, this is really cool, because this is gonna be a platform and a vehicle for me to highlight people that are of value to me, who I think are of value to other people, in some form or another. You know, like, I wanna meet some cool black garbage men. You know, I wanna meet some cool black janitors. Cool black.
You want to meet a rock? You remember Rock?
A rock, a cool black rock. Oh, Rock.
Wasn't Rock a janitor?
He was, man. He was.
Or a trash man or something?
Yeah, man. He was a garbage. No, I don't know. He's a janitor, I think. I don't know. But yeah, man.
I loved your Rock impression, man. That was
yeah, man. I was trying to. I forgot the name of the guy that he always make fun of. But yeah, man, like,
in the show,
yeah, you know, always get all extra serious. But yeah, man, you know, there's so many characters in our lives. We have a dynamic life that we play, and I think, you know, while I, you know, I haven't done the quote unquote stereotypical successful things that, you know, Tim Ferriss has done, to where he can have the notoriety to then interview Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Foxx and, you know, Mr. Money Mustache, who is becoming a huge influence for me. You know, I can take it on a granular level and break it down to the people that I know that are really interesting. So I'm already like, I love this. I actually really like this format. So I'm really excited to, I got my camera, I got my microphone, man. I'm going to take it out and go do some field podcasts with people around here. I already got 5 guys that I'm already like, yo. And I think what it's going to do is it's going to allow me to do something productive with them, rather than just get a drink. Like, yo, man, we got to catch up, get a drink. That's cool. You know, like, that's all good. But mm-hmm. I just feel like we all have talents, and I want the talents to live, you know, forever, literally, eternally on the internet. And I want to highlight them for doing really cool shit. You know, it might look It might look simple or it might look mundane, but
like a duck, like a duck on water,
like a duck on water, man. You know, I want to know, I want to zoom in to those legs. I want to get an underwater camera to see what those legs are doing, man. And you know, get some scientific data on how they're propelling them forward. But yeah,
man. Just giving birth to a clothing line, man. Duck on water. Duck on water. Don't be surprised.
Yeah, man. So do you have anything you want to add to this? Cause I'm about to sign off.
You know, man, I would definitely, it's so crazy. It's like, we've been waiting all this time. It's like, man, let's go longer, you know, but I think ultimately, man, I would love to circle back, you know, after the move and maybe a few more people come on, but I would definitely, you know, like to talk more just about, you know, your career, just, you know, your interest in triathlons, and also too, just talk more about the recreational cannabis industry, man. A lot of job opportunities, a lot of like just opportunities in general for black men, women, it doesn't matter what color, but specifically there's a very strong tie to cannabis in the black community. And it's really interesting to be, you know, here in 2017 in a state where it's legal and, you know, not going to jail for something that someone just across the way could go to prison for. So it's just, yeah, it's weird, very strange time to be in this industry. So I would love to, you know, revisit that down the line and, you know, see if we can, you know, dig a little deeper there.
Cool, man. I'm down for that, man. I'm down for that. We can have a totally zoomed in show. Hopefully I'll be out there in the next few months and we could do the live CBD with me, you, and Chris, man. I think that would be pretty cool, man. Maybe we could just bank up a whole bunch of them. You know what I'm saying? Like round table. Four or five, like just separate ones where you focus on your career one, I focus on my career, and then I could just keep releasing them sporadically with all the ones that I'm doing. So I think what Tim Ferriss is doing, he's doing them all in bulk and he releases them every week. So
that's the key, man. You got to knock like five or six out like on a Sunday.
Exactly. And then I'll go back, do a quick edit, and then go from there. But yeah, man, I'm excited to finally have this done. And it's on the internet living somewhere. I feel like our conversations, while they are personal, there's also a lot, you know, I'd say 80% of it can be used to help other people, can be used to help young black men, women, whatever, you know, weirdo white people, whatever. You don't have to be weird. You know, you could be a generic middle class, you know, upper middle class white dude in the suburbs, like, and you know, you could take some information from this. So so yeah, man,
like a John Mike,
yeah, man, John Mike, you know, why not like John Mike,
you can watch this, John Mike.
He went straight to John Mike.
It's just an all-American name, man. John Mike,
and that's his first name. Like, that's his first name, John/Mike. All right, man. Yo, enjoy yourself.
All right, brother. Yo, have a great move, man.
Thanks, man.
Hit me up.
We'll do, man. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. This episode was brought to you by the 80/20 Experience and CBD Minded. Check them out at 8020x.co and cbdstateofmind.com. If you want to get more info on cool black dudes in general, check us out on Twitter, SoundCloud, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and more. Don't fret, we'll be getting onto iTunes podcasts and other podcast platforms very soon. Stay tuned for more on this journey as we promote positive, productive black people in our society. Peace.
Dude!